Welcome, families. This is Al Hoffman with prepareforcollege.com. And that's prepare and then the digit for college.com. So glad to have you today. We're still on our continuing series of the 12 dominoes. And the topic for today is loans. Not everybody will need them, not everybody will use them, but our pretty much loan expert in this trio is Gary. Chuck has some really good input as well. So I'm going to turn this over to them to discuss the purposes and usefulnesses of loans. Gary, take it away.
Thank you, Al. And it's good to see you again, Chuck. Is it warming up down there?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to keep this at the 30,000 foot level. We're not going to get into a lot of details because there's a lot of information. So I want to give you just some general background so you know what you're up against. And we're probably going to do a podcast on different sections of these loans later on. But for right now, for the general overview of student loans, we're just going to give you the top part of it. So I'm going to start out first of all with federal student loans. Now, when people say I'm going to borrow for college, most of them go directly to the federal student loans, but there are private student loans, and we'll talk about those here in a few minutes also. But right now, we're going to concentrate on the federal student loans. Now, first of all, the student has the ability to borrow under the Direct Student Loan Program, a loan in their own name. It's limited to $5,500 in the first year, and $6,500 in the second year, and $7,500 in each of the third and fourth year. They cannot borrow more than $31,000 for undergraduate studies. Now, numbers would change if you were an independent student, but we're not going to go into that and get you confused here. Some of the things you're going to find out with the federal student loan in the student's name, I refer to it as the Stafford loan. That's the old name for it. They've changed it now to the direct student loan. But if you hear me say the Stafford, that's the same thing as a direct student loan. It's going to have a fixed interest rate. It's going to be determined each May before the student goes away to school what the interest rate is going to be for that loan for the upcoming year. Once they give you that interest rate, it's fixed and it's going to stay at that rate for the life of the loan. Now, payments don't start until after they get out of school. Okay. If the loan is subsidized, meaning a portion of it is interest free. What happens is the government pays the interest on the loan while the student's in school. That will come out at the original amount of the loan. But most of you are probably going to run into a situation where you have unsubsidized, meaning interest accrues on the loan while the student's in school. Now, this is not compound interest, this is simple interest. And a quick example, let's say you had a $1,000 unsubsidized loan at 5%. And a year passes, they go to calculate the interest on that loan in the second year. They calculate it on the original $1,000, not on the $1,050. So it's not compounded, it's simple. There is a death and disability benefit in this loan that comes with it. It's supported by an origination fee of like 1%, which they deduct from the value of the loan before they send the money to the school. And again, the money goes directly from the Department of Education to the institution the student is going to. Once they get out of school, they can start making payments, but they can also consolidate these loans, and it's very simple to do. And again, it's something we'll go into a little bit later. But that's the main loan, main federal loan for students. Now, the second one is the PLUS loan. Now, PLUS loan stands for Parent Loan for Undergraduate Student. And you say, well, what are we talking about parents for sending a kid to school? The reason is for that, it's another program that the government came up with in which one of the parents can borrow for that student going to school. They can borrow up to the total cost of college, less any other loans, grants, scholarships, or special programs. And it's going to be in the name of one of the parents. Now, if one of the parents don't have a good credit history, the second parent can apply for it. So it's not, only one can do it and that's it and nothing else. No, you have an option here if you have both parents. Interest rate is fixed. Again, it's going to accrue while the student's in school. So that loan you take out in the freshman year, it's not, and again, let's go with a $1,000 balance. It's not going to be $1,000 when you finish in 4 years or when the student does. It's going to be at 1,000 plus interest. So again, it's going to accrue interest. It's unsubsidized, as I said. Now, one of the things here is there's a high origination fee. And one of the reasons for that is there's also a death and disability benefit with this loan, meaning if the parent dies or becomes totally disabled, the loan is going to be forgiven. It is a taxable event, although there's a special law in place right now with the IRS that if there's a forgiveness of debt but before January 1st of 2026, and it would include student loans, the forgiveness is a non-taxable event. But for all intent and purposes, after January 1st of 2026, we're going to say it's going to be a taxable event if there's a forgiveness of debt. Now, there is no age limit on this. All they do is they look at your credit score and you go online, studentaid.gov, you fill out the application. They come back instantaneously with either acceptance or rejection. And that's because, again, they're only looking at your credit score. And then you go on and you fill out the master promissory note. And you do that for each year the student's in school that you're going to borrow. So that's two main federal loans for the students. And families often ask, well, are there any loans that the student can take out besides this small Stafford loan of $5,500 in the first year? Federal programs, no. You can look at private student loans. Now, in those situations, it's in the student's name, but they're going to want to have a co-signer because the student's probably not going to have a tremendous credit history. And this is just like any other credit application, a commercial loan. They're going to look at the credit of the individuals taking a loan out. So again, it's probably going to be a parent or maybe a relative that's going to have to sign for the loan. As long as their credit's good, the loan will be processed through. The dollar amounts they're going to offer vary. They usually have a cap per year. It could be as low as $25,000 a year. It could be as high as $60,000 a year. It depends on what the individual lender has in their program. There is no death and disability benefit. So I always tell families, if you're going to do this, get a term life insurance policy on both the student and the co-signer. And the reason for that is in many of these programs, in the fine print, it says if either one of those parties passes away, the loan becomes due and payable in full at once. So again, you'll want to have a term policy that's backing you up should a catastrophe like that happen. Interest rates can be either variable or fixed. Okay. You have to sort of identify what's going to happen going forward. It's like crystal balling what's going to happen with the economy and interest rates. So it's a little scary. Now, when I say you can have a fixed rate, it's usually going to be 2 to 3 points higher than what the variable rate is. So it's more expensive to get the fixed rate. So again, you need to do a lot more studying. There are some benefits. If you have auto pay when you start repayment, the interest rates is reduced by a quarter of a point. Some lenders have co-signer release. And what this is after you make so many payments, you can apply, the student can apply and ask that the co-signer be removed from the loan. The lender has the final say on this, so they may accept or reject it. If they reject it, you could maybe come back in another 2 years after you make timely payments and ask again. Again, that's something you want to sort of check on is what's their co-signer release program and how does it work? One thing I'd like to check on or touch on here is college loans. And these are loans that come from the colleges themselves. It comes out of their own endowment. Now, not everyone's going to qualify for those, but I would at least ask and say, are there any loans that the college offers my child to come to your institution? And if they start saying, well, you can go to ABC Bank, well, no, we're not interested in that. We're interested in loans that the college could possibly offer to my son or daughter to come to school there. And these are usually pretty attractive. They're usually a fixed rate. I've seen them down around 5%. I know Notre Dame does one of those. And you apply for it, and if you meet the qualifications, and usually it's a need-based situation, they're going to offer a loan of up to $4,000 or $5,000 a year. So again, that's one institution to look at. Another one is, don't forget the state governments. Many states have loan programs for their residents if they go to school in their state, in which they can get a loan like the Stafford loan, completely in the student's name. The parents are not involved with it at all. And because there's so many different states, not all states offer them. Those that do, you want to see, is it good for schools outside the state? An example is New Jersey. They have a loan program. If you're a resident of New Jersey and you attend an institution in New Jersey, then you can make an application to see if you qualify for a New Jersey student loan. So those are the main things. Chuck, can you think of anything offhand?
Yeah, I want to get creative here, Gary. So
Okay.
I'm going to be asking you some questions here. Let's assume I'm a parent, and I want to go ahead and take money, let's say, out of my equity line of my mortgage on my home. Now, I know I don't qualify to itemize. Because I'm just getting my standard deduction and things like that. Is there any way that I can go ahead and borrow from the equity of my home and designate that to the Internal Revenue Service? These monies are going exclusively 100% towards paying for my student college education. Now, I knew in the past, there was legislation passed that said that you could do this. Is that still in existence?
I'm not sure, okay, and I will check on this, but because all the things have changed recently, I doubt if it still is, and it's going to be worth doing an investigation on my part to find out if it is, because there were many years ago, you could use your home equity line of credit as long as you had supporting documentation and it was for college, you could usually get the student interest loan deduction on that. But right now, since things have changed so much, I would have to go back. And one of the big problems is trying to get information out of the Internal Revenue Service. They're a little handicapped right now. They don't have enough employees to answer the phone. And I'm not being facetious. That's literally what's going on out there. But I
I
will
have,
follow up on that.
yeah, I have checked with Publication 970 on student loans, and it's very vague. But that could be, and maybe we can cover this in another podcast on some creative ways of borrowing, other than through, let's say, your PLUS loans and your Stafford or direct loans and such. But that would be one good way to reduce your adjusted gross income to where you could pick up some additional tax benefits by taking it out as a student loan instead of an equity line of credit or a mortgage payment or such like that. So
Exactly.
that's one thing I wanted to bring up, and maybe we can go ahead and maybe try to find that information and then cover that in their in another podcast.
One thing I'd like to add is interest rates are high now. So you're going to be shocked when you see some of the interest rates. And again, I'm waiting for the new rates to come out here in May for the fall semester of next year. But the administration has said they're going to try to lower interest rates. I hope they do. I hope it has an impact on the 10-year Treasury note because that's the basis that they use to determine what the rate's going to be for the coming year. So you just don't sign up for any note. You look at these things closely and see how much they're going to cost. The one thing I can say right now is that a loan in the student's name, the direct student loan or the Stafford loan, that's going to be the least expensive loan. You're always going to want to take that loan. If nothing more, it starts to build a credit history for the student. So when they come out of school, they're not coming out with no history. They can go out and start to do things.
What is the maximum deduction on the student loan, Gary, that you can deduct off your federal income taxes?
Right now, it's $2,500 a year. Okay. So again, we're getting. You can do some planning with that, but again, this would be something we want to do in a separate podcast.
Al,
Couple
do you
small
have anything to
points.
add?
Yeah, a couple of small points. Private loans. Are private loans revenues given to the student to give to the college or given straight to the college?
Can go either way. Some institutions will just say it's got to go to the college. Other institutions says we can send it to you or we can send it to the college. What do you want? So
And
it,
that's a difference between the federal loans, which do go to the college as
yes,
opposed
definitely
to.
have to go to the college.
And I had to laugh. You said the digital process is so much faster. Do you remember the days of old when it took 2 to 3 weeks to get a loan? Now it takes 2 to 3 days. So it's pretty good.
That's what's amazing. These loans, once you get approved and you sign a master promissory note, especially with the PLUS loan, they notify the school within, they say 48 hours, but it's more like 24 hours.
Okay. And one other small thing, and that's waiting to pay. And I know we could get into the details because we're going to have to do some more podcasts on these loans. There's so many variables, which we will do. But waiting to pay, there's a grace period there of, is it, it's 6 months, right?
Right. Once a student gets out of school, there's a 6 month grace period before they have to start to make their first payment. So it's not something where you got to do it right away. You have this grace period. You just want to pay attention to the details once you get out of school.
Is there one more thing, and then I'm done with the things that I wrote down here. But the main reason to me that to take out a federal loan as opposed to a private loan. I mean, you may need to take out a private loan. That's fine, but the main reason is the forbearance issues. I mean, the government has so many options, which we will go over in other podcasts, but they have so many options, whereas the private loans are kind of like, pay me, that's your only option.
Yeah, even the private loans, they may have some forbearance, but it's not going to be anything close to what the federal programs have.
Yeah, so the federal loans are the best loans from a standpoint of that perspective anyway. Well, I have nothing else. I have lots to add, but we should probably cut this one short. We will have some more on this topic. So everyone, please give us a follow on these podcasts. I think that overall this series has been very informative, and I know that we've been getting some information from people that are very, very pleased with it. So give us a follow. This again, podcast for Prepare for College. Prepare, the word, the digit for, and then college, prepareforcollege.com. With that, we will have it a good day, and call it a day. And we'll be back with you next week to finish off our final domino in the 12 Dominoes series of talks. Have a great day.